Welcome back to all our listeners. And now let us continue. And just like what we usually do, I will play where we left off the last act. And be blessed as you listen to the rest of our conversation. How does your family experience and background, how does it help you shape your perception of faith, spirituality, and the supernatural?
That's a perfect question, because I wanted to say that before I met Jesus, I was hungry for the supernatural. I watched a lot of movies, about miracles, and a key movie for me was The Matrix. I mean, that movie just like shifted everything for me, because my jaw was on the floor the whole time I was watching that movie, because I was just blown away. And I'm like, this is real. Like, there's something about this that is real, and I'm meant to be a part of something greater than what I'm aware of, you know? And so I tried to find out what that was, and just nothing ever worked for me. So I grew up, my mom a lot would have like campfires, or we would go over to her friends' houses and they would have campfires. So I grew up around grown up sitting around campfires, drinking beers, talking about angels, demons, aliens, God, all kinds of crazy stuff, ghosts. And so I grew up hearing about all these crazy supernatural things, but I had never experienced it. And like, even my own mom, she's had poltergeist experiences. She's seen angels. She's seen crazy lights in the sky and heard whispers of people speaking to her right before she found out that they had died. It's like, my mom has had a lot of interesting things like that. And so I always hungered for that, but I never experienced any of that stuff. Like, I had friends who experienced it, and I would try to do what they said they did, but there always felt like there was something missing about it. Like, it wasn't the full truth. Like, it was just a part of the picture or something. And all I knew was that I just wanted to know the truth. I didn't want to believe something if it wasn't true. I didn't want to believe something and then me have to fill in all the gaps, or believe in something blindly and not see any evidence of it, you know? And so that's why when I did meet Jesus and then all these miracles started happening, it was such a confirmation that he really is the way, the truth, the life. Like, all of these amazing things started happening through him, knowing him in me and knowing what his will is for people on the earth. So that made a big difference. And so, yeah, basically, there was a lot of occult involved in my upbringing, and I would go to church sometimes, and that was just with my grandparents. Like, I never went with my parents. They never took me because they weren't, you know, they didn't go to church really or really believe in Jesus. Like, my mom had too many spiritual experiences, and anytime she ever tried to talk to a Christian about it, they would always say, oh, that's demonic. You need to ignore that or not think about that, you know? And so she went to the occult to seek out these things because the Christians in her life didn't know about the prophetic giftings or the gifts of the spirit. So she ended up being trained in the occult side of things instead of being trained up in walking in the gifts of the spirit, which I'd never heard about either until I read about it in Corinthians. So
thank you so much. That is just so amazing, the experience that you had. And I think it's just amazing when you have that experience with God. And like what you said, you know, the Holy Spirit. It's actually interesting because we're actually learning, and I did some studying about the Holy Spirit. And right now I'm actually studying about the Trinity, which is
oh nice.
Thing. We could chat about it some other time. It's pretty cool.
So yeah, the Trinity is very important to me as well.
Yeah, it's really good. So I'm curious, can you share a few more mystical encounters that you have with Jesus to just form your perspective? I know you have a lot, so it's probably hard to choose just one, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, right now I'm like, Holy Spirit, which one should I talk about? Yeah, okay, sure. Let's see. First one coming to my mind is, we went on a mission trip to Nicaragua, me and my husband. And at the time we had our oldest two boys, and they were 2 and 5. And so we were there on this island, and I ended up breaking my toe. So we were in this part of the beach where there were all these rocks about, you know, ranging from being like the size of a big baseball to volleyballs. And on my way back, to leave, I slipped and my big toe went in between these rocks, and I could hear on the outside of the water, I heard this cracking sound, and like I could not bend my toe, and it was like I was in a lot of pain. And so my husband took, I was carrying my toddler, so he took my toddler. We got out, went back, and the clinics were shut. They were closed. They had a doctor that came to the island like once a week or something like that. And so there's nobody around. And my toe had started to turn black and blue and it was hard to walk. But I was sitting there one day and I just was upset. And I remember just being like, God, this isn't heaven on earth. You send me all the way here to come, you know, do mission work. And now I've got this broken toe and it makes it hard for me to walk. It makes it hard for me to do anything. And we had a lot of friends here with us doing the mission work with us. And not too many people were like asking me if I needed anything. Like if I needed help with my toddler, if I wanted somebody to like make me a plate and like bring the food over or whatever. It was just, I started to think like, why is nobody offering to help me? Like, do they not realize I have this broken toe and I don't know what to do? Like, it's just hard to do all this stuff with my kids while my husband is helping do other things for the mission trip. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, after I got all this out of me, I ask, what do you say, Lord? And I just hear him say, do you want to be healed or do you want pity? And man, I really had to think about that because it was like all these emotions are causing me to like want pity from people or even from God or whatever. And he was basically saying like, do you want to walk in the healing that you know I've given you or do you want to wallow in your pity, you know? And I had to process that and shift my heart to be like, okay, yeah, he did bring me here for the kingdom. And so I'm going to walk in that. And so what if people haven't been helping me? You know, so what if it's been hard? I'm healed in by his stripes. I'm healed. So I stood up and I took a walk or I took a few steps and there was no more pain in my foot. It was totally gone.
Wow, that is just so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I like how you hear God asking you, do you want to walk in healing or do you want to wallow in pity? Because when things happen, just like what happened to you, our normal reaction is we want others to pity us.
Yeah.
I really love that story. So thank you for sharing that to us as well. And I know that you have gone into so many heartaches and storms in your life, and we've talked about some of them in our conversation. So my question is, what were some of the challenges that you faced when you are transitioning from an abusive relationship to finding healing and experiencing the love of God?
I think just learning that I could be in the presence of God, it played a big part in that because the church that I went to, they also taught us about soaking prayer, where you just turn on either instrumental music or worship music, not Christian music, but just like worship music. And you lay down and you just take in the music and you pray, or you're just sitting there and you're waiting for God to speak to you, you know? And so I did that a lot. And we had a prayer room at my church and I would do this at home too, but I shared an apartment with somebody, another girl, and she, you know, usually she was home. So I didn't always get to do this, but so the prayer room was a big deal for me. And I would just like go sit on a hill away from everybody and listen to worship music in my headphones or read the Bible or just sit there and listen to nature. But there was a lot of those times where I would just start crying, like letting everything out, all the trauma, all the fears, all the pain of just why these things happened or how they happened or, you know, all the big questions and yeah, just all the pain. I would just let it out. And I just also knew that he was there with me. And so there were times where I would end up groaning and like moaning, I mean, uncontrollably. And I'm pretty sure that was just like me being in God's presence was delivering me. You know, he was drawing these things out of me that I didn't have words for. you know, it was all emotion and pain and just deep trauma and things like that. And so I would just be with him, and just his goodness of bringing me to know him and realizing that, you know, this whole time I thought that I hated him and, or that he wasn't, you know, that he wasn't real. And then just seeing how he loved me anyways, despite all that, like it didn't matter how hateful I was against him. He just kept ravishing his love on me. So I think just meditating on those things. And when I read the Bible, not just glazing over it, but actually trying to take in what I was reading and process it, it really just, it delivered me of a lot of that pain. And in those moments, he would speak truth to the situations that I went through. And then after all that, I ended up finding about Sozo prayer, which is like a form of inner healing prayer with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it reflects on helping you connect your relationship with the Trinity. Because like, let's say if you pray, if you find it easier to pray to Jesus all the time, then maybe you had a strong relationship with friends or siblings, but you didn't have a very close relationship with your father. He was very distant or whatever. Then it's often that you'll pray just to Jesus rather than understanding the heart of the Father towards you. And then Holy Spirit represents the mother and, you know, mother figures in your life. And so it's so spot on. And so when I went through Sozo for myself, I got so much healing. And then I've been trained in it multiple times and have helped others. And I've seen the transformation in their lives. So those are just very key, and just having relationship with the Trinity and knowing that they are with you at all times, that you can turn to them anytime you feel triggered, you feel trauma, you need to process grief or any of that. Like God is there with you. And even if you don't know what to pray or what to say or even what to ask, you can just even be still and quiet in his presence. And that's enough. Like you'd be surprised.
Thank you. That is just so amazing. And yes, like one of the study that I did specifically for about the Holy Spirit, of finding help. Yeah, I think this is by Max Lucado that I said. It's really good. It's just like what you said, kind of like characterized, like he have a characteristic like of like a mother in a way, because, you know, like taking care and all of that things, you know, there's no gender, but it's just a characteristic. Right. I don't want the audience to get us wrong. We're not putting gender. It's just a characteristic that it got. That's like a deeper study that we did, because I think most of the time, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that's maybe being talked less about. That's the Holy God and then Jesus and then the Holy Spirit, but the three in one is important. They all have significant roles. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. So I also want to ask, how about the spiritual abuse that you encountered in your church? How were you able to deal with it? How were you able to overcome it? And most important, how were you able to help others who are in that similar situation? Because we know that a lot of people that are listening, that they probably stopped going to church. And one of the reasons they might have stopped going to church is because they have bad experience with it. So can you share with us your experience and how you're able to overcome it and help others? You're so inspiring. You're so amazing, Audrey.
I am sure you can guess, another cliffhanger, so make sure to follow us so you don't miss the answer to the question where we left off. And also, if you feel in your heart in supporting us and being partnered with us so we could continue doing live stream and create good content for all of you, you could do so by giving us a one-time donation or being a member so you could join us and be with us whenever we do the live stream and unlock exclusive posts and messages, and also access the full library. And you'll also receive a newsletter in your email once a month from us. And we could also pray with you at the same time. And the most important part is you get to partner with us as we share the word of God to the world. And we also want to remind all of our listeners, especially our members and supporters, that Audrey is giving us a privilege of coming back this month to do a live stream with us. And I promise you, you won't want to miss the chance of meeting her and asking her any questions that you may have. So make sure to support us or be a member so you can be a part of it. And we can keep doing more live stream and create good content for you and help share the word of God to the world. Thank you so much. And now let us reflect to everything we've heard and listen to this beautiful music from our Spotify sponsor. Thank you, everyone, and stay blessed, and always remember, come to Jesus daily. Until next time. Oh.
sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing time, under your wings I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit. Oh.